Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're welcome back. Joe here. Michael Verney still with us. So, as mentioned before the ad break, we were going to bring you through all the reaction from yesterday. But I am being told that live on the line, Tommy Dunn is with us. You're there, Tommy?
Hi, Joe. How are you?
We're great. Thanks so much for joining us. Where are you in the world at the moment?
Just outside the Anner Hotel here in Thurles, Joe. Just about to board the bus to take the McCarthy Cup up to the home crowd in Central Stadium.
Wow. Congrats. I'd say that's a nice feeling. Amazing.
It's a lovely feeling. It's a lovely feeling. And we're thrilled. And just, you know, there's a great vibe around. It's a nice sunny evening. There's a few thousand people up there apparently waiting to see the Cup, and loads of families and parents and young children, all very happy Tipperary people, Joe. So it's a very special feeling, and one that it makes an awful difference. You know, it makes a huge difference to people's lives around here. So it's lovely. It's a lovely feeling, and we're enjoying it very much so far.
You obviously were a regular voice in the show up until this year when you went back in with Liam Sheedy and the team. In so much as you can in the short time I'm sure we have before you get back in this bus, can you give us a sense of the year, Tommy, and what it's been like?
It's been a terrifically enjoyable journey, Joe. It's a long journey with plenty of bumps on the road and lots of twists and turns right throughout the league into the early stages of the Championship, with a heavy defeat in the Munster final and a ropey performance in the quarter final and an extraordinary second half performance in the semi final and the win yesterday. So, but massively enjoyable and huge input obviously from the playing group of 40 players and what they gave to it was really special and just bought into everything management and coaches were trying to put through. And you know, to see, we've had some great performances during the year, and it's just nice to see him playing well on the days that matter, you know.
I'm sure it is. First 15, 20 minutes yesterday, you must have been a touch worried. I saw you at one point running in. Was it you moved someone on Walter Welch at one point? I saw you, like, you were busy moving around. It wasn't all going to plan first 15, 20 yesterday.
No, and look, we weren't really happy with the first 15, 20 minutes. Kilkenny probably started a bit stronger than us, all right, but slowly we got to grips with it. And Pádraig, our half-back line, came into the game with Pádraig and Seamus and Barry Heffernan and Ronan started to hold their own a bit better. And obviously, Niall O'Mara's goal was a big score in the first half, which kind of helped close the gap that Kilkenny had opened up. And, you know, they had made a lot of the running, but probably having a lot to show for it after all the hurling did it. So we were quite pleased after 25 minutes that we were well in the game without having reached the potential that we knew we had. So and obviously we put a lot of energy into the first 5 minutes of the second half, and were able to open up a gap with Shamey's goal, and with Kilkenny down to 14. When we had a lead, we knew we'd find it hard to pull it back.
Yeah, and they certainly did. And, you know, Kyle Barrett went back and it all seemed to work a treat. The lead kind of concertinaed around 8-9 points. And, you know, they couldn't quite get inside 8-9 and you couldn't quite shake them off either. That was the remaining almost half hour of the game. What was that like looking on?
Well, I was nervous because the thing with Kilkenny, if they score one, they could hit two or three. And we were very conscious of that. And, like, they did kind of open us a little bit, and they just didn't execute. A few passes went to ground, and I think Pádraig made a tremendous block on someone as well coming towards the end of the game. So, you know, Kilkenny are the ultimate team, and even at 8 or 9 points, you never feel quite safe. And I know plenty of supporters felt the same. I met them last night. They still weren't sure until the final whistle was gone. But you know, we were okay with 2 or 3 minutes to go. We had enough cushion already.
There's a lovely moment at full time where Sheedy grabs you, and I think Eamon O'Shea is a few metres down the line, and he grabs Dara Egan as well, and then eventually O'Shea is dragged in and there's the four of you. If you don't mind, what are you screaming to each other at that stage?
I can't remember. There was a lot of noise, and it was just, you know, like, the four of us, we put a lot into it. Liam took a bit of a risk coming back. Eamon took a risk coming back. You know, everyone takes little risks along the way to see if you can make things better. And, you know, it was just a very special time. And we've got, you know, the four of us have got quite close over the last 9 months. And to see the team playing the way they did on an All-Ireland final day with an input from us makes it very special. And we were just enjoying it for that few seconds. You know, they're just fleeting moments, but it just worked out lovely for us. And we were just very happy at the time. You know, it was just a special moment between the four of us.
Yeah, I'd say so. We were sort of chatting here, and it's something even Anthony Daly mentioned in the Irish Examiner today. When Eamon O'Shea was brought back in, people from the outside wondered how that might affect you, and was that almost stepping on your toes a touch, or taking away a degree of kind of control you might have had over a certain aspect of play? And did you have to kind of accept that, or was that an issue for you?
No, it wasn't. Not at all. It was nothing of the sort. It wasn't even remotely an issue. You know, all we were interested is between the four of us, could we get the dynamic right to add value to the players? You know, there wasn't. We all do our own thing. We just try and make sure the chemistry works and that the players are getting something out. No, there was never any danger of anything like that happening. You know, that's just not the way it works. And it was a hugely enjoyable experience for me, and hopefully it was the same for the boys. You know,
Tommy, you're an All-Ireland winning captain, obviously, in 2001, now an All-Ireland winning coach. How would you compare the two and the levels of satisfaction between the two?
Listen, nothing beats being a player, lads. Nothing even comes close to being a player. That's where the action is. But coaching is a hell of a good second best. And it's the enjoyment in coaching for me is seeing players that you work with and sometimes work with very, very closely on all kinds of things. To see them play well on the days that matter to them, that means everything to a coach. And, you know, sometimes it's a bit overstated. It's when the team goes between the white line on big days, you're never sure of what's going to happen, even with all the preparation in the world, because a small thing can change the course of the game very quickly. So sometimes the whole strategic side of coaching can be overstated. But it's just lovely when a player comes to you after the final whistle and thanks you for a little bit of your input. That's what makes coaching worthwhile for me.
Tommy, I assume after Liam departing fairly, it was a bit of a shock in 2010, you're going to make sure and hold on to him this time.
Yeah, I said there's no danger of that, lad. Yes, yeah. I'm boarding the bus now. Sorry to cut you short.
No, go on. Listen, thanks so much for jumping in anyway.
All the best, mate.
Cheers, Tommy. Tommy Dunn there, literally, as you can hear, live in the line, hopping on the bus. You can kind of get even a glimpse of the satisfaction they must all be feeling. So that's Tommy. We'll bring you some of the reaction from the hotel this morning and from OTBAM as well. And we might, if we can, squeeze in a bit of Brian Cody and Liam Sheedy yesterday. We'll have analysis after 8. So we might start with, I guess, a fairly prominent protagonist from the first half, given the incident with Richie Hogan, and then the second half, given his role as the free man, Carl Barrett here. So Will was down at the Burlington Hotel, and he managed to get Carl Barrett on the phone for the lads in OTBAM. So have a listen here. This is Carl Barrett. The lads started off by asking him, Jerron Owen, about his free role following the sending off of Richie Hogan.
Yeah, it's not my first time being a sweeper. I've done it a good few times with sweeper over the last couple of years. Like, I remember Conor Manley when he was playing fullback. He didn't really let me go too far. If there was ever a sweeper, he used to be roaring at me. So it was always kept to 21. So I probably should thank him a little for that. But no, it's just, look, I just had to play with instincts, really. Like, no, you can sense the danger. You know, if Kenny had the ball, you know, it's going in. And you just need to get back to yourself, out roaring. And look, just kind of move with the halfbacks and just support as much as I can and try to get on the ball. It's a cornerback's dream, really, to be honest with you.
It's interesting that you say that. So when Kilkenny had the ball, he basically knew straight away that they were going route one, and then you had the efficient tools to deal with that.
Yeah, like you could see, like Kilkenny are an amazing team, like, and they've some ball winners, like, so like you knew, like, when they got the ball, they broke that tackle, you knew it was coming in. So look, it was just a matter of just supporting the boys as best I could, really.
Were you surprised that they didn't go with a different route after you were winning so much ball in the full back line?
Not really, to be honest. When you're in a battle like that, and 80,000 people are on, and Kilkenny are coming under throat, the only thing I'm thinking about really is trying to get my hands on the ball. It does tactics or anything like that does not come into play there. Like.
Carl, how's the jaw this morning? Obviously, you got a bit of a belt there.
Yeah, no, the jaw is not too bad yet. No, the jaw is okay, yeah.
You have a little mark on your mouth there. Is that connected to the tackle?
Probably just a bit off the helmet as well, not major really, but I looked at it in regards to that, like, as I said earlier on there, look, it's like, you have to give huge credit for any man that steps out on that field, like the commitment you put in there for the last 9 months. And look, it is disappointing for someone to kind of have a take away, like, you're training 9 hard months for the big day, and when it's kind of taken away, it is disappointing. So look, so like, you would personally, you'd feel very sorry for Richie, because look, like, you wouldn't want to see anyone's day kind of taken away, like, but look, there's not really much I can say on it. Look, the rule, I don't know what the rule is, a high tackle, but look, personally I'd feel sorry for him, because look, I know that, like, I'd respect every man that steps on that pitch, and you know the effort they all put in, so you wouldn't like him their day to be kind of end up like that.
Yeah, in fairness, because you guys have been having quite the physical battle up to that point. You caught him a little bit high a little bit earlier on, but that, again, I mean, there's clear footage there that you were actually going for the ball. But yeah, were you concerned when that happened that the referee was going to come over and have a word? Because, you know, the high tackle has been such a focal point of what they've been talking about this year.
No, not really, to be honest. Like I heard people kind of going on about, but to be honest, if you're going on about that, you're really clutching the straws. Like I seen the footage, sure. Like, I'm clear as day going for the ball. Like, I think it's my wrist that touches off his helmet. Like, just, I'm not looking at Richie, I'm looking at the ball. So, like, I'm competing for the ball. There's a big difference.
Yeah, fair enough. And in the other one, obviously, you're actually getting out of the way, and that's when Richie catches you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was the immediate aftermath in halftime? What's said at that point when you are a man up to make sure that you're clearly going to benefit from this? Because obviously you'd come through the semi-final where you'd gone down a man and it actually turned the game around against Wexford, so clearly it's not a straight thing that, okay, we're a man up here, we're obviously going to just coast home now.
Yeah, like, it is a tricky one. You can really fall into a trap and get comfortable. Like the last thing you want to do is get comfortable, especially against a team like Kilkenny, because they're ruthless and they will bury you. So it's literally sticking to your game plan and sticking to the process of what you're doing. Like, it's great having a free man, but like, if you start getting any way complacent, like, it can come against you massively. So that was all, like, the talk at half time was literally, let's not fall into the trap now, lads, of getting complacent or anything like that. Let's stick to our process and keep working moment by moment.
Yeah, so there's a calmness at halftime then, is there? I think the Niall O'Mara goal probably helps bring a bit of calmness in the fact that you're suddenly in front from early on. It looked like Kilkenny were, they'd got the foothold in the game, whatever it was, 8-3. You know, they'd started well and you guys had been taking your time to get into the game.
Yeah, look, there was a calmness, but like, obviously, I don't think we would have been massively happy with how we started the game, as you said. Like, I thought we were a bit slow to get into it in the first 10 minutes, as you said. Kilkenny went 8-3 ahead, and like they will punish you if you make mistakes. So we made a couple of mistakes even in the backs, like our forwards made a couple of mistakes, and they will punish you. But like, there was calmness at half time, but like, we wouldn't have been happy with how we were in the first half. Like, we set our standards very high, and we have our goals, and we just try to hit them.
Just thinking back earlier on in the year, we'd Bonner Maher on with us a little bit earlier on. He did his cruciate. You did your hamstring that same day, and it looked like you were going to be out for quite a while, but actually you made it back really quickly. There was definitely a sense that if both of you had gone out for a significant period of time, that that maybe this Tipperary team weren't going to be able to fully deliver on their potential. When you think back to that point now, did you know straight away you were going to get back quite quickly, or was that kind of a worrying few days for you?
No, obviously, look, you're very worried. Like there's not worse than missing a match. But look, there was no point in me dwelling on, really. Like, the following day, like, I linked up with Carver, our certain Asian coach, who's been absolutely amazing with us. And like, every day, if I needed him, he'd be there. And I just worked my socks off to get back as quick as I could, to be honest.
Carl, just on Liam Sheedy, obviously everybody's been speaking about him in glowing terms naturally over the last 24 hours. For you personally, what has his return as Tipperary manager done for you as a hurler?
A massive look. As I said earlier on, like Liam Sheedy, I think is the engine in our dressing room. Like, he absolutely drives our standards, and look, he sets high goals and sets high standards. But he'll ensure, for him to be the best of what he does, he'll make sure you're the best of what you do, and he'll bring in the best people around, and he will just try to get you there. He'll leave no stone unturned, and he'll facilitate any needs right at all. Like, that's what he does. He's an absolute driver, and just there's nothing else you can say about him. Like, the man, in fairness, is remarkable.
Carl, what's the plan for today?
The plan, I think, is I might get an hour of sleep, and then we'll go to Crumlin Hostel in, and then head back down the road and see the fans and Tip. Hopefully it'll be a good turnout for the lads.
Yeah, I've no doubt it will be, Carl. Congratulations. Enjoy the hours, Kip, and the rest of what's coming over the next couple of weeks. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks a million, lads. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
There you are. That's Carl Barrett this morning. Don't know how long he'd been to bed at that stage.
He needed to be in somewhere like Vegas where he's pumping in fresh oxygen and he'd feel $1 million. It mightn't look great, but he'd feel $1 million.
Yeah, the Burlington lobby, I'm not sure how much oxygen was being pumped in. Speaking of Liam Sheedy, who everybody obviously is celebrating over the last 24 hours, here is Sheedy yesterday. This was him speaking to Mór Tarasa just after the game.
Liam Sheedy, you're grinning from ear to ear, and sure, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, look, it's a special day, you know. All-Ireland final day is the big day in all our GAA calendars from a hurling perspective, so to have come here today and have won, you know, it's really, really pleasing, I guess. You know, we were supposed to be started back in November, that was the dream, but we're a long ways away from it. And, you know, we had a bit of a blip in the road in the end of, in the June, and probably, you know, a lot of questions asked of us in the group. And, you know, thankfully today we sit here having come up with the answers in the All-Ireland series. So, look, just thrilled. It was an outstanding victory, and we're just absolutely thrilled.
I was watching you in the sidelines, 68 minutes, 69 minutes, 70 minutes. You were still roaring. It's like, it didn't matter if you were that much in the lead. You weren't letting go until that last whistle was blown.
Well, you know, I think, you know, this game of hurling can change in the puck of a ball. You know, one goal can make all the difference. So, you know, we felt that, you know, we just needed to make sure we retained our composure. Some of the times, you know, we wasted ball and didn't take the right option. And we set ourselves very high standards. But, like, you know, when they did get the options and when they did take the right ones, you know, we were very, very impressive. And, look, we were sucking for air there in that first half when they were 5 points up. And the goal was a massive score by Niall O'Meara. But, look, overall, just thrilled for the group. I mean, the effort they've given since November has been just phenomenal. And, you know, as I said, whether we won or we lost today, I couldn't have asked for any more of the lads. And as I said, thankfully we came out the right side of the result.
I'm just looking at you, and obviously you've the big grin on you, but you also look kind of, I suppose, for the want of a better phrase, emotionally exhausted.
Yeah, I am. I'm smashed, to be honest with you. That's not a word of a lie. You know, there's a lot of energy has to be expelled by me, you know, in terms of the pre-match, in terms of the half-time, and in terms of the overall game. So, you know, there's a huge amount of effort goes in from everyone. But look, I'm in the lucky position. This day was never going to be about me. It's about a wonderful backroom team that are just the best in the country, and I also have outstanding players that went across the white lines. They can do wonderful things with the hurling ball. So, as I said, we're absolutely thrilled tonight.
And I think something people often forget about is you've the wonderful backroom team, you have this wonderful team of players that grouped together and did what they've done. But you also have, like, friends and family who give you this invisible support that a lot of time we don't see and hear about.
Yeah, look, I got two cards this morning. I got two cards this morning from my daughters and my wife. So, like, you know, that really is all about family at the end of the day. You can't do these jobs unless you get the time and the energy and the support. So, thankfully, I get that.
Liam Sheedy there. Him running over to his family is one of the great moments of yesterday. And it was the same after the semi-final, the embrace and his daughters. And it just looks like an amazing kind of couple of minutes with them. He's been really pumped on the touchline. We were just saying there as we listened to the audio, I was saying to you, like, as much as 10, I don't remember him in 2010 being as pumped. Like, you think at the end of the semi-final, when, as Derek McGrath was saying, he was giving it the old Ric Flair a few times afterwards, and, like, I don't know who the Galway player was, but he ran into Sheedy, and Sheedy...
Joe O'Connor from Wexford, yeah.
Right, well, yeah. Or sorry, yeah, Wexford player. Well, it was O'Connor who hit the ground, not Liam Sheedy.
That rarely happens, like, because he had all the momentum, and Sheedy just was, obviously, just his body was so tense and pumped, like, yeah.
So he has been, it feels like, I can't, you know, 9 years ago at this stage, but a more almost intense presence on the sideline this time around.
Definitely, oh, he definitely has, yeah. Like, Vincent Hogan did a great piece this week. He described him to as like a lion, like stalking an antelope, and like this was in like the 68th minute. He was, as I said to you there off air, like, and even when he's lifting the cup, he was just kind of snarling, and he was just a different animal altogether. And he just, I suppose, it's funny hearing him talk there about being emotionally spent. Like, it is difficult for a manager. A player looks after himself, and that's the only person he looks after. He's looking after the 15, he's looking after the 11 subs, he's looking after everyone else's role. Like, he must be absolutely shattered. Yeah. It is like being a CEO of a mini business.
And on that, Michael, because the way he's talked about increasingly, it's like delegator. You know, and even Shane McGrath was on last week, and he was saying, you know, Sheedy wouldn't prize himself as having like the biggest hurling brain of the backroom team, and there's O'Shea and there's Tommy Dunne, these guys. I still presume, though, at heart, the man knows hurling inside out, like, because he's talked about almost more CEO and delegator than hurling manager.
Oh, you can guarantee he knows hurling inside out. I'd say, like, if you were to chat to Liam now, the two All-Irelands would mean an unbelievable amount to him. But when he went back to Portraitz in 2012 and led them to an Art Tipperary title, which I don't think they had ever won before, and that's not with an unbelievable amount of resources.
Mayo weren't sponsoring.
No, that's with yourself basically and a couple of lads with you, and basically took them somewhere they'd never been to before. So you have to have the hurling smarts, you have to have the nous. And while he's manager and his coaches in there, they are still playing to the principles that he wants them to play to, and they're coaching to the principles that he wants them to coach to.
Mm. So let's hear from Brian Cody then, again, just speaking straight away in the aftermath. This is, like all Cody's interviews, really, it's pretty short.
Brian Cody, these interviews are never easy. Your assessment of that game?
Well, obviously, I mean, the first half was a very, very competitive game. We played very, very well, and a bit of a leader at one stage, and they got a goal, brought it back, but absolutely nothing in it, and it was going to look like it was going to go right to the very, very end, really. But obviously, Richie got sent off just before half time, which very, very definitely impacted on the game.
I feel very cruel, actually, even asking you to talk to me here, and we can hear the Tipperary team celebrate in the background. It shows the cruelty of sport and how things can change on sixpence, and that sending off really was a turning point.
It was, for sure, yeah. It was going to be a big ask. I mean, we weren't fancied to be able to take them on 15 on 15, so to ask us to do 14 against 15 for the whole second half was a huge ask, but that's the way it worked out.
And was your assessment on the red card?
Look, I wasn't expecting a red card, to be honest. I was very, very close to it, and I suppose the referee didn't really know either, because he spent ages trying to make his mind up about it. And I think you don't have to be very, very sure in your own head if you're going to lose your red card.
I assume on a loss like that, when it didn't go down to the wire as well, it must be very hard to stand on the sideline and not be able to do much.
But I mean, that's sport. I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, you fight it out and you go to the very end, and when the final whistle goes, you win or you lose, and we didn't win it, so that's you've got to do these things.
Finally, before I let you go, your dressing room, I presume the word you'd use for it is probably just quite devastation.
Absolutely, a huge disappointment. He was not there in the final, and that's our dressing room for today.
That's Brian Cody. Michael Verney, your time with us coming to an end. Final thoughts on the season that's been and how we'll remember it ultimately?
An interesting season. The thing I probably remember most from it is that probably the best team didn't win the All-Ireland, I would say.
Right.
No, it's just the way it worked out, is that Limerick were the best team, and other kind of results just went, I would say, went Tipperary's way to some extent. Could you say Tipperary were the best team in Ireland after losing a Munster final by 12 points?
How do you explain that now, that Munster final defeat?
It's very hard to explain, isn't it? And then you try to explain the round robin game 2 weeks before that, or a week before that, yeah, where Limerick were beaten by 4 points.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to explain. Patrick Corgan actually said it to us that he thought somewhat that Tipperary had thrown in the towel somewhat when they realised that they weren't going to win the game, which is an interesting take, particularly from a player on it.
Mm.
But they had the platform to bounce back by playing Laois, and obviously Wexford was going to be a 50-50 game,
yeah,
and the circumstances by which they got over Wexford and all the adversity and all the referees' calls and been down to 14 men just had them in an unbelievable position. It was the same as 2010. They struggled in 2010, beat Galway by a point, and just skyrocketed thereafter.
Mm. Did it hit the heights of last year? Not quite.
I don't think it ever could, realistically. Yeah. The two semi-finals were absolutely epic.
They were. The semi-finals are now guaranteed epics at the
moment.
Yeah,
moment. It's a weird kind of demographic having it Saturday and Sunday, but the last 2 years have just been unreal.
It's like a festival.
Within 24 hours. They were amazing again. Different games again than the year before, but just unbelievable games as well. And like, I don't think Tipperary would have beaten Limerick if they played them again. It's funny.
Do you not?
No, I don't think they would have had.
Because the styles don't suit.
No, the styles don't really seem to suit, to be honest. Right. And Limerick can really run at Tipperary. Just a quick final thought.
The funny thing is that
I was one of many saying, "Oh, Tip, the legs. I don't know if they have the legs. I don't have the legs." Like it didn't even come into it yesterday. They were the ones running teams ragged. Like, and then you had the subs coming on, fresh energy everywhere. It's amazing how a narrative can change so quickly.
And why did you think that? Because I'm sure you didn't need to be told the average age of the team was 27.
No, nothing to do with the average age of the team, being honest with you. Just generally, just having looked at the team over the past 2 years,
yeah,
they looked quite leggy. Didn't look like there was that much pace in the legs, particularly a bounce really in the defenders in particular. But it's amazing. Like, they're obviously totally bought into their strength and conditioning.
But you're like comparing Bubbles even to
yeah. Well, that's it. He said he got told a few home truths by Liam Sheedy, yeah. And I'd say there were a few home truths, to be fair,
yeah.
And maybe just that was just the kick in the rear end that him and maybe some others needed as well.
Yeah, and it still is an amateur sport. That aspect of things is still a bit more volatile than what we're going to see in professional sports.
Of course, yeah, of course. They're not being monitored. Like, lads can go and do what they want outside of training, especially in the winter. If you come back not in great nick, and you pick up an injury, you could be chasing your tail for the rest of the year. That's not usually the case in a professional team, where a lad is literally sitting you down in the gym and he's literally doing everything with you. You know what I mean?
So, final point. I'm sensing then, as we head into 2020, when we pitch up again for the league and maybe have a chat, you'll be nailing Limerick as your team most likely to win the 2020 All-Ireland.
Yeah,
already.
More than likely, yeah. I actually didn't think Limerick would win the All-Ireland this year after last year, and even going throughout the year, just because you know how hard it is to do back-to-back. But I knew they'd represent themselves well, and they represented themselves unbelievably well. This is a different group.
Yeah.
This is a different group. There's too much talent. There's too much...
their attitude just means that they will be at the top table for as long as they want to be, and it will be for a good length of time.
Mm. Well, Michael Verney, Irish Independent, thanks so much for coming in.
Cheers,
we'll be reading your thoughts, I'm sure, on the match for the rest of the week. We'll take a short break. Up after 8 o'clock, Shane Daly and Dennis Walsh are going to join us for some more analysis on the game, and then we'll park all that, and Stephen Hunt will be alongside us in studio. Manchester United just coming out of the tunnel at Molineux this evening, so that and other things to be discussed.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.